This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Casabella Home and Interiors.
Nicole Andler is the Chief of Interpretation and Education at Death Valley National Park. And Nicole, on with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Death Valley has been kind of an area of fascination for me the last few years. Still have not gotten down there yet. How long have you worked at Death Valley National Park?
Well, for Death Valley specifically, it's been about 6 months.
So kind of new and obviously probably different than other places you've worked.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a huge park at 3.4 million acres, as well as it is the hottest, driest, and lowest national park that I've worked at.
So one of the big things over the weekend was the question, because there was a potential in the forecast for yesterday to get to the hottest all-time temperature on Earth. And I'm curious how things turned out yesterday.
Yeah, it is unofficial still at this point, but we did not hit that record. We got to approximately 128 degrees yesterday afternoon.
So only 128, there was a potential to get how warm?
Well, the forecast was going back and forth between 128 and 129, and to tie that record of the most recent hottest temperature, we would have had to have reached 130.
Wow. Now, what's the overnight low there? Did you happen to track that?
So typically, recently they've been in the 80s and 90s. Again, unofficially, last night at about 3 a.m., it looked like it got down to 103.
103 for the low. People, and you know, listening for the most part this morning are just shaking their head as to what that is like. So one of the particular aspects of Death Valley, I mean, it's a national park. It is huge. It encompasses a lot of area. National Park Service employees have got a lot of things that have to be done on a regular basis. How do you get all your work done and all the other staff as well when it is that hot outside?
Well, we have sort of our busy season is the opposite of everybody else's. So during the winter and spring, we try to get a lot of our construction and our field work where we're actually out in the backcountry done in that season from October, November through March, April. And then during the summer when there are emergencies and we do have to work outside, we follow OSHA guidelines, which say if it's 100 degrees, 120 degrees or warmer, we work for 10 minutes outside and then cool down and rest for 50 minutes so just to make sure everybody is safe.
Wow. So, which means it's a little bit of a slow day getting things done then.
It can be, but when there, you know, if there's an emergency, then we need to make sure everybody stays safe to do the work, but also do the work that keeps everybody safe.
So 6 months there, what led you to accept a position at Death Valley?
Oh, well, I've been with worked at different parks within the National Park Service for almost 25 years. And so Death Valley has always been one of those national parks that I've come to as a visitor multiple times. And so you could kind of say, you know, it was one of my dream parks, a place that I've always enjoyed visiting. And now I love working here.
And how many employees work on the park staff there?
We have about 95 permanent staff.
And how close are they able to live to the park area?
Some folks are able to live in a housing area within the park. But we also have folks that come in from Pahrump, Nevada, about an hour away.
And is that the closest city to the park area?
Pahrump, Nevada and Beatty, Nevada are our closest communities.
Okay. And now you mentioned coming multiple times before. Has that been in recent years or does that go way back as well?
Oh, I have probably visited Death Valley, I think I counted it up at one point, about 10 times over the last 15 years.
Okay. So obviously you've been interested in it. What's the fascination?
Well, it is so large. It does have so many different things. So the sand dunes have always been a place that I've very much enjoyed visiting, and there's some great sand dunes out near Stovepipe Wells that are easy for folks to access and the ones that I've been to the most. There's also the higher elevation areas where you actually get up high enough, there's enough moisture, especially in snow in the winter, where you've got some trees, including the bristlecone pines. So that's really amazing. And then the landscape here is just, it's just open, and so you can see all the colors, all the rocks. You can see in some places even where there are fault lines, and it's pretty amazing.
So a lot more colorful than maybe people would expect.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just not sand and barren landscapes. It's got color, it's got texture, it's got character.
So as chief of interpretation and education, what kinds of things are you involved in?
So I am the boss, so my stuff involves a lot of desks and meetings, but I have staff that get to do a lot of interesting and fun things, including helping visitors out at our visitor center, providing ranger programs out in the field, and when I say out in the field, basically out at locations in the park, and we also have an education team who do student field trips here in the park.
Now, you mentioned the park size, but remind us just how big it is.
It's 3.4 million acres.
And, boy, I mean, that's, like, bigger than some states.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It is the largest national park in the lower 48, and still larger than a few of the parks even in Alaska. So it's pretty huge.
This time of year, what do you get a lot of visitors?
Well, for July and August, we actually do see an uptick in our visitation. So our busiest time of year is in the spring when the weather is really nice, when we may have wildflowers, depending on how much rain we got over the late fall and early winter. And then students are on spring break, so families are coming out here for vacation. But then we do see in July and August folks coming from Europe and Asia, who at home cannot get anywhere near these temperatures, so they do come to Death Valley to see how hot it really feels. And so we see an increase in interest at that time of year again.
Obviously, being there all the time, you mentioned the, sort of the protocols and the system your staff works within. How do you help visitors stay safe? Because I'm sure people make mistakes in, you know, how long they're outside, for instance.
Yeah, so we do try to share information in as many formats and in as many ways as we can so people can find a good way to prepare. And so our websites and social media are a great way. And the message that we really want to communicate is to come prepared. Bring plenty of water. A bottle of water per person is not enough. We recommend 4 liters per person per day. And bring those salty snacks. This is a great excuse if you've been cutting back on chips. Well, bring those chips because that's a great time to get some of those salts back into your body. And stay close to your vehicle or a building with air conditioning so you have a place to cool down. And stay on paved roads. The paved roads through Death Valley hit a lot of the highlights, and it also is a little bit safer to travel and typically have places where you can go to go cool off not far away.
Now, obviously, driving on paved roads is advantageous, but walking on them, is that an issue in terms of just how temperature, how high the asphalt gets?
Yes, so the asphalt or the concrete out in front of our visitor center, the sun does warm those surfaces up, so the heat does reflect back. We do have a really pretty thermometer out in front of our Furnace Creek Visitor Center, and we say it runs a little hot. It's not our official temperature, but it also actually experiences some of that reflective heat, and so it's typically a degree or two hotter because it's sitting on a concrete pad in a metal box, so it is usually a little warmer than the actual air temperature, and so sometimes if you're standing on a reflective surface like that, you may be feeling a little more heat as well.
Wow. Do you have any idea what that temperature is, the big gauge is reading right now?
I don't know what it has at this very moment, but yesterday it did have the false readings of getting it to 130, but we didn't make it there officially.
All right, 128, the high for Death Valley yesterday. Nicole Andler, Chief of Interpretation and Education at Death Valley National Park. Nicole, thanks for being on with us.
Yes, thank you.
8:42 at the Morning Report.